Today in the Journey from Steve DeWitt.
Were it not for the Spirit in any one of our hearts and lives, we would not seek the glory of Christ. We would see no beauty in the cross. It would sound like nonsense to us. But with the Spirit, we hear the gospel and we see Jesus on the cross and we realize that this is the wisdom of God. And now this becomes not just nonsense to us, but it becomes the most precious and glorious thing that we have ever heard in our life.
The Holy Spirit is not a distant concept. He's a personal helper, teacher, and comforter sent by God Himself. Welcome to The Journey. Today, Pastor Steve DeWitt invites you to encounter the presence of the Spirit in a life-changing way as he explains with clarity who He is and the vital role that He plays in your life. It's the conclusion of a message titled, People of the Spirit. And you can hear the full message online at thejourney.fm. Now with a lesson in 1 Corinthians 2, here's Pastor Steve.
It has been my experience that many Christians are confused and perplexed about who this Holy Spirit is and what His role is within the Godhead and within salvation and what He's doing here and what His role is in my life. He's the teacher. He's the comforter. He's the helper, which is why it is so unfortunate that in the church so often there is this kind of confusion about Him. He is here for our good, and He is a blessing, truly a blessing to the church. And this is what this passage is going to explore for us, beginning in verse 12. Paul writes this, "Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." In context here, the natural person is mankind as he is, without the influence of the Spirit, which is actually the way the NIV translates this, the man without the Spirit, the natural man. He now is describing this person, and he gives a few characteristics. Here's the first one. The natural man does not welcome or treasure spiritual truth. Verse 14, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. What man naturally is he's just wired to believe, the gospel comes along and says the opposite. And so it rubs the natural man the wrong way. And it doesn't sound, what? That can't be right. That doesn't sound right to me. Again, look at verse 14. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Now, these are important words, the key ones there being not able to understand. In other words, you can argue with the natural person, you can shout, you can wave your arms, you can buy the top five books ever written on the subject and give it to them defending the claims of Christianity, but on their own, apart from the Spirit of God, they are not able to understand them. And it's not like we're smarter or anything like that. You're getting the wrong idea, because it's not what I got here that matters. It is the Spirit that is the difference. That's the point. It's much like an experience I had when I was on a trip and I stayed in this hotel in Rome. It's like a 10-room enlarged bed and breakfast kind of thing. I mean, it was just like 10 rooms, one level, like third or fourth level. And my room was so small, like the room was barely larger than the bed, literally. And it was like a single bed, okay? So there wasn't a lot of room to sort of run around in the room. You know, you just kind of slid in, got in bed, slid out. But the breakfast buffet at the hotel made up for it, okay? Because this was really, really great. Every morning they had this breakfast buffet, and so I would go down there and I would get in Europe they have pastries basically in the morning as kind of their, it's like Cheerios to us. I mean, it's like that's their thing. They have these little pastries and then their morning cappuccino. And I also grew to love the cappuccino as well. So breakfast was an exciting time. I would get up, slide out of my bed. I would go down the hallway and I would go to this breakfast buffet bar, get my cappuccino, get my little pastry. Well, there was working at the breakfast buffet, this Italian woman. She was about this tall, okay? Short Italian woman, older Italian woman. And she was the one there setting things up and all that. Well, for some reason, she like took a liking to me. And I would get my stuff. I would sit down at my little table and I would begin eating by myself. And she would come over every morning and to talk to me. I knew two words of Italian. She knows not one word of English whatsoever. She would come over to my table every morning and she would just begin to talk to me. I think she was longing for somebody who would listen to her because she would come over and she would talk to me and just, you know, like that. And I was trying to be polite. I'm in her country, you know, and I'd be like, didn't stop her. And I just kind of keep eating my little pastry. I don't understand. I don't understand. On she would go. And then the next day, I'd go, and there she was again, talking to me in the morning. It was actually kind of fun. You know what I really needed at the table? What I really needed at the table was, I needed a translator there, didn't I? Because I'm sure she was saying things that were really neat and important and helpful for my day about the city of Rome, things that would have been such a blessing for me if I actually knew what she was saying. It would have been so great to have a translator there who could take what she was saying and help me understand it. And that is what the Holy Spirit does to the natural person. And by the way, we're all born natural, au naturel. Apart from the Spirit, we can't get it. That woman could have talked to me for the rest of my life. I wasn't going to understand a word that she said. I needed somebody to translate it to me. And the Holy Spirit does that. He translates spiritual truth to natural people so that we can get it and understand it in a way that our hearts, not only our minds understand, but our hearts engage in the truth, which leads into saving faith. And now the blessings and the prophets of the gospel are appropriated and applied to our life. And this is all by the Spirit. And that is why there isn't one Christian here who should ever look at somebody who doesn't get it and say, I can't believe you don't get it. Like, it's so simple. Don't you understand? No. Were it not for the Spirit in any one of our hearts and lives, we would not seek the glory of Christ. We would see no beauty in the cross. It would sound like nonsense to us. But with the Spirit, oh, this is a different story. With the Spirit, we hear the gospel and we see Jesus on the cross and we realize that this is the wisdom of God, that this is the way of God to reconcile us to Him. And now this becomes not just nonsense to us, but it becomes the most precious and glorious thing that we have ever heard in our life. And it leads the now new person believing to give their life and to say, I'm dedicating myself to this. I'm going to follow Him the rest of my days. This is the greatest thing I've ever heard. Where does that come from? The Spirit. He is our helper. He is our teacher. Verse 10, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. The Spirit's doing it. Verse 13, and we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit. And this is commonly known as, if you want to know the theology word for this, it is the doctrine of the illuminating work of the Holy Spirit. We are born with no understanding. The Spirit comes and turns the light on, illumines this truth to us in a way that we can understand. Friends, we're born in sin. We are born spiritually dead. You can go to a dead person and you can talk to that dead person a long time. He ain't gonna get it. And you can wave your arms and you can shout and you can say, look at this book right here, why don't you read this? He ain't gonna get it. What does the dead person need in order to understand? Well, first of all, he needs to be made alive, doesn't he? And this is what the Spirit does through what is known as regeneration, or what Jesus said in John 3, we are born again by the Spirit. He makes us alive for the very first time. Now we're spiritually alive, and we hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, Savior of the world, died for our sins as a substitute. Repent of our sins and follow him, and you'll be reconciled with God, sins forgiven, eternal life. We hear that for the first time, now made spiritually alive. And we want that truth. And that wanting leads to what the Bible calls saving faith, or believing in the gospel of John. And the fruit of that then is that the Holy Spirit applies all of the benefits of salvation to us. And there are many. Primary is that I now have a right relationship with God, that the wrath is taken away, that the sins and the guilt is taken away, that now I am once again made right with the one who made me for himself. And there is no greater news than that. And I say, now I'm following him. I'm following him now. Who's done this? The Spirit has done this. The miracle of salvation. And the result of that is that we go from being the natural person in verse 14 to being the spiritual person in verse 15. And it's all of the Spirit. And once again, with this theme that we've seen already, why does God save us the way that he does? So that there is nothing in man that we can boast in. So that we get the good and God gets the glory. That's why he does it. Salvation is from God. It is all of God. And in the end, it is all to the glory of God. And even our understanding and the hearing of the gospel is of God, the Spirit. So in the end, we just go, whoa, praise. That's how it works. Quickly, let's finish the chapter, verse 15. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The result of the Spirit helping us to understand spiritual truth is that now, as Christians, we have a starting point for evaluating all the things in our lives. Spiritual truth, reality, family, marriage, whatever it is, there's a starting point. Without the Spirit, the natural person, the worldly person, longs for something solid to believe in, something to know that is right. Like Pilate, who said to Jesus in his trial, what is truth? And that's the cry of all the philosophies and all the religions of the world. We're trying to find something. I gotta know there's something that's real and true that I can put my hope in. And once I come to understand the gospel, now for the very first time, I have a point of reference. I have something to orient myself from, and something that everything else finds its proper place from. We have a core, we have a center, we have a truth. And this is a precious thing. You know, I've been reading a book written by a man in our church on African-American spirituality. And in the book, he tells stories about American slavery and the experience of the slaves and what they were going through. And one of the things that he talks about in there is what a slave would do in order to run away to freedom. Because when you're in the deep South, you don't know which way is, how do I know where to go? And, they didn't have a compass. They didn't have, these GPS devices here we are right here on this road. We'll go up here and take a left. And they didn't have that. What they did have, though, is they had the North Star. And slaves would run to freedom by following the North Star. As long as they had the North Star, they had a reference point. It's impossible to get lost when you have a point of reference. And praise God, by his Spirit, for his glory, through the gospel, now the Christian has a starting point for evaluating and appraising everything else in life. And if you've been a Christian a long time, I have as well, I'll bet we don't even begin to realize how wonderful that is. We get used to just living life this way and sort of thinking about things in light of the truth of the gospel, but to have a place, a firm place, a reference point by which to evaluate everything else. So I know how to be a husband. I know how to be a student. I know what I should be thinking about as I go to work or as I am a citizen, like we just participated in this last week, or as I think about recreation, or I think about, you know, when I go to school and there's all kinds of claims being made at school, I have a reference point and I judge everything else by it. How precious. But is himself judged by no one, it says, and all that that means, he's referring to unbelievers who they are unable to discern spiritual truth and they are unable to judge spiritual people. They don't get the truth and they don't get the people either. And to prove his point, he quotes Isaiah 40, who has known the mind of the Lord? It's a rhetorical question. The answer is no one but the Spirit, verse 10. And when the Spirit helps us discern spiritual truth, the result of that is that we actually have the thoughts of God. Okay, this Bible, this word is the wisdom of God. As I, by the help of the Spirit, understand what it is saying and think thoughts consistent with this, I now am thinking the same thoughts as Jesus is about it. Not that his thoughts are better than ours and higher than ours and greater than ours, but ours are like his, which is what he means when he says, but we have the mind of Christ. We're starting now to think about life and reality, religion, philosophy, everything the way that Jesus does, which is what it means to have the mind of Christ. So what a help this is. What a comfort this is. What an encouragement this is. All things that the Spirit is doing as our paraclete, as our faithful helper. So let's get back to where we began. I started off by saying, you know, it's really unfortunate that in the church we have people with a good understanding, decent maybe of Jesus, decent of the Father, but confusion on the Holy Spirit. Do you see why? When you look at all the things that God is doing, the Spirit is central to everything. The preaching, the understanding, the applying of the benefits of salvation, regeneration, all of these things, the Spirit is doing that here. So rather than being afraid of him, and I can say that to the young people that are here, if we have any children here, the Holy Spirit is not something to be afraid of. He is your comforter. He is your helper. He is your friend. And what a good friend he has been to every Christian. So how then can we become more or grow in, as people of the Spirit? That's the name of this message, is people of the Spirit. How can we grow in this? And just some suggestions practically as we kind of wrap up here. What does that mean? How can we grow in this? A couple of suggestions. Number one is to learn more about him. Learn more about him. Have you ever met somebody that the more that you get to know him or her, the more you like him? But the Spirit, I'm suggesting, is like the person that you meet, and the more you get to know him, the more that you like him. Because there are levels of richness of what he has done for us. And I would encourage us to get to know him. Read passages like this passage. Corinthians is going to talk a lot more about the Spirit, so this series will help us. He is not scary. He is not bewildering. He is here as our helper. Secondly, ask him to do his good work in us. The Spirit is here. God has sent him for a reason. He has certain things that he's doing here. These are things that he wants to do. When we go to prayer and when we pray, we ought to ask the Spirit to do the things that we know that he is here to do. It's like if you come to me and say, hey, would you like to go golfing? Yeah, I would love to go golfing. You want to play basketball? I'm all about that. You want to go drink some coffee? Is it European cappuccino? I'm into that. You want to watch football? Don't have to ask me twice. Because I'm predisposed to wanting to do those things. The Holy Spirit is here, friend, predisposed to do the things that if we were wise enough, we would really want him to do. So ask him to do it. In intercession, ask him to comfort you. He's here to comfort. Ask him to heal. He is here to heal. In my time with prayer, I often will pray, Lord, I want you to come and I want you to fill me, which in my understanding means that he is controlling me, that his will, his teachings is directing me in a daily way. Why? Because I want to bear his fruit in my life. Fruit like love, joy, peace. The things that the Spirit does are all things that I want done and he wants to do. So ask him to do it. In your prayer time this week, think about these benefits and say, Holy Spirit, would you do this in my life? I surrender to that. I want that. Please come and do your good work. Third is please him. Please him. The Holy Spirit is a person. He is a person. And much like in your relationships, when you have a relationship with somebody, and let's just say that you go, I don't want to talk to you. In fact, I haven't thought about you for 3 months. That person would be like, what? You don't care about what I think? That would sort of be hurtful, don't you think, to say something like that? The Spirit is a person. And that's why the New Testament talks about don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. When we purposely disobey, we sin, we don't consider the will of God in our life, the Holy Spirit withdraws his blessings, the blessings that we want in our life. And so how much better it is to please him so that his fruit can be born in us. And finally is to worship him. The Holy Spirit is God, friends. He is God. All the characteristics, the attributes of the Father and the Son are true of the Spirit. He is God, and we must worship him in prayer, worship him in song, sing songs to him. We must try to please him. He is always with us, not as the Holy Ghost, but as the holy encouragement, the holy helper, the Holy Spirit. And this is so important. Without him, in fact, this is what's true right now. If he's not here right now, being involved in what's going on here, this is a colossal waste of time. Nothing has been profited from our time here together without the Spirit. But with the Spirit here, and I pray that he is here doing his work in our hearts right now. With the Spirit, there is understanding, and there is application, and there is transformation, and there is a desire to leave and to go and to be people of the Spirit and to shine in this dark world as people with a reference point, with a North Star, direction and truth. So may God increasingly create that in us, that we might be people of the Spirit. Amen.
Amen. May we open our hearts to God's Spirit, allowing him to shape us into vessels of his love and grace. You're listening to The Journey with Steve DeWitt and the conclusion of a message called People of the Spirit. If you missed the first part of this lesson, you can hear the full message online at thejourney.fm. Or listen while you're out and about. Subscribe to our podcast. Just search your favorite podcast app for The Journey with Pastor Steve DeWitt. Thanks for being with us here today on The Journey. We're dedicated to guiding you along life's path toward the timeless truths of God's Word. Each day, Pastor Steve DeWitt dives deep into Scripture, bringing its wisdom to life and showing us how it applies to your everyday experiences. But we can't do this alone. As a listener-supported program, we rely on the generosity of our community to keep us on the airwaves and online, spreading the message of hope and grace. So will you join with us in this mission? Your donation, no matter the size, makes a significant impact. Call us at 844-7-JOURNEY. That's 844-756-8763. Or visit thejourney.fm to give today. And when you do, we'll say thanks by sending you The God Conversation, a book full of sound, empathetic coaching for those who want to communicate their faith more effectively. How do we defend belief in a good God in the face of terrorist attacks or natural disasters? What can we say to show that we're not arrogant when we believe Jesus is the only way? Or how can we help others appreciate the universal standard of right and wrong found in the Bible? Well, this book offers a wealth of penetrating illustrations, examples, and quotes that respond to these issues and more. And you can request your copy of The God Conversation by calling 844-7-JOURNEY. That's 844-7-JOURNEY. 866-756-8763 or visit thejourney.fm. Well, I'm Tim Svoboda. Join us tomorrow when Pastor Steve begins a cautionary new message titled, What Happens When Christians Don't Grow? That's Thursday on The Journey with Steve DeWitt. Today's program was produced and furnished by Bethel Church in Crown Point, Indiana.